This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke-Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. Whether you have a straightforward W-2 or a more complex return or business, our clients come back year after year. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at TaxTacklers.com.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker, because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
Younger, if they're going to invest in Purdy, then you definitely got to upgrade the offensive line, because Williams did not have a good year last year. And the last thing I want to say is, if anybody disagrees with Steine about the whole not looking like a playoff team at all last year, just look at that game against Seattle at home, where they literally could have taken a death grip on the playoffs, or the division at least, right there, and they suck. Sorry, the coffee's really hitting me right now.
All right, Dave. Hey, we love the Pacific Northwest. Don't be a stranger. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You know what? It is noon, and we're going to transition. And maybe as dramatically as the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe we're in a reset here.
Well, if they stunk as much as you said they did last year, I don't know if they're necessarily moving in too drastic of a direction.
All right, here's what's going on now. Warriors play the Sacramento Kings tonight, 7 o'clock, Chase Center. You can hear it all at 7 o'clock, but it starts at 6 with the Warriors pregame with Evan Giddings, Warriors Live, and then tip-off with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert is at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So the Warriors play the Sacramento Kings, and it's a bigger game for the Kings than it is for the Warriors. And here's where I'm gonna start with the Warriors. This is why it's not just going to be a cakewalk to 5, or it's going to even be a cakewalk to stay at 6. I mean, just look at what happened in the NBA last night. Clippers beat Miami. Houston beat Phoenix. Memphis beat Utah. And Minnesota beats the Denver Nuggets. So everybody tucked around the Golden State Warriors won last night. And that's why they've got to keep winning, Evan. And we'll get further into this the further down the road we go, but I mean, the Timberwolves' schedule is every bit as favorable as the Warriors' schedule, if not a little bit more. And there's 17 games left. They're going to have to win a big chunk of them to stay at 6 and to have any hope of moving up. And the reality is, moving down is still not out of the equation.
No, it's not. I mean, you're just as far away from the 5 seed as you are from the 9 seed, you know, and that's where the Kings are currently occupied. So no, you gotta win these games like tonight. And I think it's also a credit to them, because like, imagine if they hadn't gone 12-2 since the trade deadline, like they would be sunk. And whether it's with Jimmy or without Jimmy, the winning streak that they've been on, and it's been 5 games, it's been of the utmost importance, because not only do you gotta keep Minnesota off, you want to try and climb. I think the 5 is, it's far, but it's not unattainable. But, you know, the Warriors have to take advantage of the subpar teams. And to their credit, they've done that. And, like, Steine, we talked about this at the deadline. You know, could they go, what was it, they had 27 games left. Could they go 18-9? Well, they're 12-2.
I know.
You might have to go 20-6, or have to go 21-5, or 21-6. I mean, in order to keep the six. You know, it's funny, like, all the action that's been happening right now in the West has been actually more in the 2-4 range as opposed to the 5-6-7-8.
Right.
But the one thing that I do think the Warriors at all costs have to avoid, even if it means playing your guys a lot down the stretch of the season and the older players, you have to avoid the play-in because you just never know. And, you know, it's funny, like, watching some of the games last night, over the last few nights, it does feel like the West is, I don't know if open is the word, but it's going to be matchup based again. And so,
no doubt,
you're going to have to figure out if, all right, do you want to play Denver? That might be a bad matchup, but the Memphis Grizzlies might be a great matchup. You know, the Wolves might want to play the Nuggets in the first round.
Exactly.
Because they're a team that seems to have their number. Like,
and the Nuggets right now sitting at tied for second with Memphis. I mean, we could be, you know, there could be 5 to 6 games left in the season, and Denver starts finagling to avoid Minnesota in the first round, if Minnesota's at 6 or 7, say. But no, I agree. You know, when you say, like, I sent this to the text thread yesterday, and I said, LOL, that Denver's scared of the Golden State Warriors. To me, that's funny. Because they scared of the Minnesota Timberwolves. They would, you can't convince, they would, the Denver Nuggets would rather play the Golden State Warriors in the first round than Minnesota. I really believe
100%.
That. 100%.
But it's funny because also, I think the Warriors have a much easier time against the Wolves, who have dominated the Nuggets,
yep,
than the Denver Nuggets themselves. You,
yep,
know, it's, the Warriors have just, they've had Minnesota's number this year. And I don't know what it is in the water about it. But if you're Golden State, you know, what should make them feel confident at this point is I think they've displayed a level of basketball, even without Jimmy Butler, that leads me to believe that with him, there are teams scattered throughout the conference because maybe there's an upset. You know, Minnesota could beat Denver if they were the 2 seed, and then maybe you play them in the second round. Like,
true.
But the Warriors have had a better time matching up against the best teams in the West this year, certainly more so than last year.
And just to give you an indication that this isn't all about the Warriors. The Warriors can only do what they can do. But I'm just looking at the Lakers. They've won 8 of 10. I know they've lost 2 in a row, but they won 8 of their last 10. The Rockets have now won 4 in a row. The Warriors have won 5 in a row. The Timberwolves have won 6 in a row. So, as Tony Montana once said, this ain't no duck walk for the Golden State Warriors. They're gonna have to earn it, and they're gonna have to win a lot of games, a lot of guys.
Well, that's,
you know,
why,
what I mean.
That's why yesterday when you were asking the players, you know your record, you know the standings, it could change very fast. You know,
no doubt.
To be fair, you didn't know the record either, but you know, 37-28
wasn't about me.
You know, if they win tonight, they're 10 games above 500 for the first time this season.
I mean, let's have a little fun here.
Okay.
So I got a guy, Harry, who, yeah, before the season, he was like, I don't think this team's going to be very good. Before the season. And I said, you know what? I think they could be okay. And he goes, well, how many games do you think they're going to win? And I, of course, said, I don't know, maybe 46, 48. And he goes, no way. They're not going to be 500 this year. Okay, so,
well, okay,
they make,
keep going,
they make the Butler trade, and now he said, well, I couldn't have, who could have predicted they would have gotten Jimmy Butler? So my prediction, I'm not wrong on my prediction.
You're not going to cut him any slack?
No.
Well,
I don't, who cares how you get there?
But he was talking about the team that was constructed in the offseason, which, to be fair, he wasn't wrong about. Like, I had a bet with someone in our KCBS office because he didn't think the Warriors would go 500 either.
Right.
And I was like, dude, they're going to win 41 games. Like, really? They're not going to win 41. And I'm going to be honest, I was sweating a little bit before the deadline.
I mean, I here's the other thing. You know, if you're going to make a preseason prediction, you have to understand what the moves could be that lie in front of the Golden State Warriors. And you guys weren't listening But Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr were saying as they were signing Kyle Anderson or trading for him, whatever the hell they got him, Buddy Hield, hey, we have flexibility and we think we can make a move if we need to, and we have the pieces. That has to be part of your, you know, your prediction thoughts. Sorry. 46, 48. That may be under. That may be under.
Yeah, they might be a 50-win team the way they're playing. Can we put the route on the table?
Yes.
Brought to you by ATCO Pest Control. They got bailed out.
Nevertheless, I mean, the
if you
whatever
knew,
the over-under is, it's still cashing or not cashing in Vegas.
This might be a stretch, but what I believe is if you knew that Jimmy Butler was going to have this kind of impact, why didn't you trade for him like 2 months ago? Or before the deadline, I mean.
I mean, maybe the price was too high.
The price could not be too high because a player that probably would have been involved in it would have been Kuminga. You might have had to give up future more draft capital than you did. Wiggins would have been involved. You've gone 12-2 without Kuminga anyways. Now, Kuminga might be the reason you get over the hump in like a playoff series, or I think he can take this team to another level. I'm not trying to dismiss that. But if the goal was to dig yourself out of the doldrums, which is where they were in the middle of December when they lost, it felt like every single game that was close, then why didn't you make the deal then? You know, as much as, yes, they made a great move for a great price, it was the one, like, Steiny, seriously, if you knew you were going to win 90% of your regular season games and that was how good Jimmy Butler is and was going to be for you, then why didn't you just pull the trigger prior?
Circumstances changed. That's all. But here's the other thing.
No, you went and got Dennis Schroeder.
Here's the thing.
Plugging holes.
When you make a preseason prediction for your team, you have to know your organization. And one thing I know and knew about Joe Lacob is if this thing started trending downward, he would change it. Light years would change it, and he did. And I had that kind of confidence. Oh, you think I thought that original team could win 46? No, I didn't think that for a second.
Well,
I just knew they had something up their sleeve. No, but actually, of course,
the great Raymond Ritter yesterday did make sure to emphasize that. You know, and I think that's fair, though. Like, honestly, did I believe that they were going to pull off a big trade? I had my doubts because they'd swung and missed multiple times, going back to even last trade deadline. But they did put themselves in a position to have options. And, you know, I also wonder if after they made the Schroeder, like if Schroeder hadn't been there and they had kept Melton, would they have gotten Levine and Vucevic? Because those players weren't available to them because, again, they couldn't trade Schroeder until a day before the deadline. And by that time, Levine was already off the board. It might have prevented them from making a mistake. I don't know. But you are right from the standpoint that they had options coming into this year, and, you know, it's changed everything. That's for sure.
All right, here's what we're going to do. On the other side, we interviewed Steph Curry yesterday at Chase Center. We're going to play that on the other side if you haven't heard it. And the reason we're going to play it is because we never really had a chance to talk about many of the things that Steph Curry said, which were very, very interesting. So coming up on the other side, it's about, we'll whittle it down to about 15 minutes. Don't worry. You're not going to have to sit through that Jersey thing again. But we'll talk, we'll replay that interview with Steph Curry. We'll open up the phone lines, and then we'll really get into the Golden State Warriors. Still rolling right now. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It's your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types are welcome.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Oh, It's just music that soothes the soul.
Oscar season is over, dude. Like, Complete Unknown is now on DVD.
It didn't win anything, did it?
No, it didn't.
What
and
a
it
joke.
Shouldn't have, it shouldn't have won
Chalamet
anything.
Chalamet should have won something. He was incredible. And so should have whoever played Joan Baez.
Yeah, she was a lot better than I thought he was. He was fine. But, you know, he's going to get lost in the many biopics for great musicians. And, yeah, it was a fine film. But it's over.
All right. We can move on. And here's where we're moving on to. Yesterday, we were out at Chase Center and had a chance to talk to Steph Curry. And we're going to replay that right now because after we interviewed Steph Curry, we didn't really have a chance to really get into what he was saying. So we're going to spend the next 12, 15 minutes listening to that Curry interview from yesterday and use that as a jumping off point to talk Warriors for the rest of the show. So without further ado, here's the Stephen Curry interview from yesterday at Chase.
Number 30.
There he is.
Is entering the building, Steph Curry.
Yes, sir.
Steph, how you doing, man? Good to see you. What's going on? Thank you so much for joining us. And how's it going, man?
It's going great. Just finished a great professional practice.
What's happening?
Just discipline, detail, short and sweet. And we're trying to keep the vibes going. Wins are nice, but you still know we're still trying to get better, put things together. And welcome JK back tomorrow. Should be fun.
I mean, is it fair to say what we've all seen is real, that Jimmy getting here has energized you and Draymond and the whole team and has made you more of a believer that you could do something special this year?
That's what the trade signified when we did it, and you still have uncertainty whether it's going to work or not, but it puts everybody on edge. It gives you a sense of urgency to, figure out what it looks like on the court on both ends. And I think from the jump, obviously our record shows the new life that we have and how good Jimmy is and how good of a fit it is. But I think we're patient enough to know we have a long way to go. And so the building blocks from where we were pre-trade to where we are now, I like where we're at. I think we're all, like you said, energized and rejuvenated and optimistic that we can compete with anybody. But, you know, we have whatever, 18, 19 games left. We just want to solidify a playoff series. That's it.
Right.
The chef, Steph, just, I'm so happy for you and the fans and the team because I remember you at the one of the post-game press conferences, and you're my barometer. I was like, man, he kind of despondent. We ain't built to come back. But walk us through where you were at when you got the news that Jimmy was coming to town and your thoughts.
That was a whirlwind of a day. We were about to play Utah, and rumors, talks, conversations, what ifs, and then it happens. So first you're upset because you're losing guys that you went to war with, you know, Wiggs especially, who helped us win a championship and saw him flourish for the whatever 5 years he was here. Dennis, Kyle, Lindy, seeing them guys go, who were a big part of early in the year. And then you think about the future. Yeah, we're excited that Jimmy was here. We were, you know, again, understanding of who he was as a superstar and the idea that he plays basketball a very similar way, as he would say, make the right play. But he demands a presence, and it's a guy that you have to worry about out there on the floor. And you can see it's helped me and Draymond, but I think overall it's helped everybody else more because he makes guys around him better, and he does it really naturally.
Well, when you first heard either his name brought up for the first time, there was some, you know, stuff out there that the Warriors are maybe a little concerned with Butler's presence in the locker room. And, you know, this is a team that's been together for a while, or at least its core. Did you have any of those, or that's just stuff from the outside that you don't pay attention to?
There's noise everywhere.
You told us you hear everything.
I hear everything. You try to filter through everything, too, to know what's real and what's not. I talked to Draymond. I talked to Mike Dunleavy, who was his vet in Chicago back in the day, and they spoke so highly of who Jimmy was. When the family feuds, it's obviously tough, and I know him and Miami have, you know, had a history of winning, and also didn't end the way that they wanted to, but when we talked to and understood Jimmy was going to be here, it was just about, you know, showing up, being a professional. He's motivated to win, and that's everything that I heard. And when you get locked in, Jimmy, it's the absolute best, and it's our job collectively to keep that energy going.
You guys just went on a road trip, and you were in Brooklyn, Steph, and the Brooklyn fans were chanting MVP. Just, I know you didn't heard it all, but just walk us through that. When you're in enemy territory, MVP, and they're talking about the visitor.
I like that because it means you're winning. You don't get the MVP chance if you're down 20 on the road. So it's just a big idea of, you know, Dub Nation travels. Like, we've had a really good presence in a lot of different, you know, arenas. And when you're winning and the vibes are good, like, you appreciate those environments because that's the thing. Talking to any ex-pro who's played in this league, I don't care if you're a star or whatever, you miss that adrenaline rush, that not only the competition on the court, but, you know, the fan interaction and engagement. Like, that all matters, and it means something. And so I definitely appreciate it.
I mean, we all see what kind of Jimmy's done on the court. Are you surprised he's been able to cure your bilateral tendonitis?
I was worried, Steph, early.
Nah, it's still there.
How are you feeling?
I feel good. Like, I think the idea is I've learned my body this year more than I have, you know, had to in previous years. Obviously, the ankle injuries early in my career, coming off the hand surgery, whatever, 5-6 years ago, into what this year was. So I've learned my body, learned what it needs to do to get right. Over the last 2 months, I've been able to kind of commit to that process. And it helps, obviously, to have another guy where the load isn't as demanding,
right,
physically and emotionally every single game. Doesn't mean that I'm not approaching it the same way, but it feels different. And like I said, when you're out there, the way that we've handled the minutes when I'm off the court and Jimmy's been able to run the show and guys are – Moses is playing great. BP, when he was healthy, was playing great. We still don't even have JK back. Like, when the vibe and everything on the court, it does help because you're not carrying that load. So, it's been an interesting year all the way around for sure.
Let me ask you this, because I know as much as you can share with us, 2022, you shocked the world. Nobody saw the Warriors winning it. You guys got off to that great start. This season starts, I'm like, I don't know, and then you make the trade. But Steph, I told Stein.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the listeners, I mean, you're as frisky as all outdoors. You got a pep in your step. Do you think about number 5? Can you taste it? Do you feel something?
We talked about it. Somebody asked me this summer, like, what are you still playing for? That's literally the only thing you're playing for. And when you feel far away from it because you don't have a consistent, you're not rewarded consistently with wins on a nightly basis, or there's growing pains with a team, it does kind of, you know, knock at your confidence and your ability to imagine what it's like to be, you know, a relevant contender. And like I said, I like where we're at right now. I think we have what it takes to do it, but I'm not fast-forwarding to saying, oh, we're a championship team right now, because we have another level to get to before we get to a playoff-type environment, and I'm excited about that challenge. All I wanted to be is in the fight. All I wanted was a chance. All I wanted was an ability to look across the Western Conference and say, yeah, we can go toe-to-toe with whoever, and I feel like we're knocking on that door.
Steph Curry joining us, courtesy of the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. Guru and Steiny here at Chase Center. Warriors just finished up practice. Where did Night Night come from? We all want to know.
Denver, game 3 in 2022. Me and Andre, there was one possession right before I made a layup down the stretch, like less than a minute left. He was up on the sideline. He was barking at everybody, and I was like, "No, I got this. I'm gonna put him to sleep right now." And I said that to him. It just mouthed it. I didn't do the sign or nothing. And I made the layup, and I did like a little quick, or the first quick night night, and then it kind of just evolved from there. So it's been a whirlwind, just seeing how many people have kind of attached to it in other sports, and you know, signifying like, "Yo, the job is done." So even seeing fans start to like encourage, like, "Oh, I need tonight." And it's like, well, we got 48 minutes to play first. Y'all too demanding.
Now I'm looking at you. You're in phenomenal shape, and look, your buddy LeBron James gets a lot of credit for his physique and his fitness at his age. But Steph, I feel like you get slighted. I'm looking at you. How long can you play? Because right now you just got a bounce in your step, man.
I don't know. I've tried to answer that question before, and I've said a lot of different things just based on how I feel that day. But I think, you know, it's all kind of measured on what the style of can I get to that level that I expect for myself. It's not really attached to like points per game or stats thing. It's just a feeling like, can I dominate a game? Can I play my style for 30 plus minutes? And then you kind of reevaluate every year. So I know how my contract's lined up, and I'd like to outplay that for sure. How long that goes, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I would like, you look at a guy like Tim Duncan, and he just kind of wound down into a real good role player. I think it's different for guards, and I'm like, that's one thing I've been curious about is if you look at what your role may become over the years, or you think to yourself, I'm going to be Steph Curry in 2 or 3 years, and I'm going to be the same guy. Or will you eventually make some kind of adjustment?
No, I think it's just a matter of having clarity to be able to answer that question and know, like, nobody wants to be naive to think, oh, I'm still that guy, and you're not, and you have a system built around you, and you have expectations built around, you know, that type of team. To that point, we're not there. What it looks like down the road, I'll figure that out. But I love the game, and I think the fact that I still show up and still have as much fun as I do every single night, that to me is the blessing and the beauty of where I'm at, about to turn 37. Just like I feel the exact same like a kid when I'm out there playing. It does take me a little longer to get there, you know, the pre-warm-up stuff and the recovery days and all that, but I still can get there.
Well, like, let me throw it to you this way. Like, down the line, could you ever see yourself coming off the bench?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think everything's on the table. To the question of defining, like, how long do I want to play? What is it going to take for me to do that? I'll answer those questions, but I'm open to anything. I just, if it means I can win, nobody wants to just be around just existing. If it means I can win, I'd approach it anyway.
Talk to us about how proud you were, because I am of the Bay Area. You hosted some parties for the All-Star game. And Steph, I do got to ask you one personal question. Why no three-point contest?
I've been there, done that. Yeah, man.
We were trying
to get the me and Sabrina part two back, and it just didn't work out. I think we'll come back to that at some point. I know it's not in the Bay, but to have Draymond, Moses, and the Skills join, for me to show up at the All-Star game and get the MVP, it was a good ending to the weekend. I was super proud of the entire Bay Area, man, just because of the way that it showed up, representing the history of basketball culture here. Everybody who came said they had an amazing time. They saw the Bay in a different light, and I love the experience. So yeah, it was fun.
You guys really think you can win it?
Absolutely. That's why we're juiced to be in this position. I mean, how many teams think they can win it right now? Probably, what, 8 to 10?
I'd say 8. Maybe. How many 8-ish? Have won it 4 times?
You know what I'm saying? There's 8 to 10 teams every year, 6 to 8, 10 teams every year that think that they can win it. If you want to be in that category, does it mean it's going to happen? We'll see. But I like the idea that we can confidently say on a night to night, we can figure out how to beat anybody.
Let me ask you this. Like, why, if you were to win it all, what would be the reason you'd win it all? And then what would be the reason that would get you beat?
There are some really good teams out there. You could look at Boston, Cleveland, OKC, Denver. They're records teams that have, three of those teams who have won it before. So you think about experience, but for us, we have that experience on our side. We have a good balance of veteran presence, youthful energy. I think the fact that since the trade, our roles have been clearly defined. Our rotation's pretty consistent from a night-to-night perspective. It might get a little tighter as you get closer to playoffs, but having your 9-10 guys that are going to play, the bulk of the minutes, who's going to be out there on the floor, that clarity has given us a lot of confidence. But at the end of the day, me, Draymond, Jimmy, we've all been around. We know what it's like to be in a playoff series, to have to figure out that specific opponent and how to beat him 4 times. And like I said, if you get us in that scenario, we like our chances. So
I shouldn't take the field this year?
Was this the same room we were in? No, we were at it's a different room.
That was the Lakers' year. It the year before.
Man. We didn't do that? That wasn't the same year?
Yeah.
I messed up.
They was coming off a chance.
I got you.
Steph,
I'll let you put the odds out there. We'll do our stuff.
They just got
the
a lot better, I'll tell you that.
Man, I am so excited about the rest of this season in the playoffs, but to appreciate the good, I'm one of them. You got to remember the bad. But Steph, how much did you pay attention to last year when you guys didn't make it, lost to the Kings? Like, how much did that fuel you to where you're at now? Because I ain't gotten over it.
Well, personally, I had plenty of time to sit on my couch, watch the playoffs, get ready for the Olympics.
So you do watch?
Oh, yeah, I watch. I watch a lot. But I was getting ready for the Olympics last summer and was motivated to get back into high-stakes basketball. And then, obviously, that played out great. This year, we got off to a great start and then hit a lot of challenges. And at the end of the day, like, you just appreciate, because of being 16 years in the league and how many times we've done this and being with one franchise and trying to recreate this, with another iteration of this team, like, all of that stuff just brings out the best in you. And so, you think about that, you got to appreciate the down. Like, even before 22, we were so far away from the mountaintop and figured out a way to climb back to it. And, for us to even just have a consideration like, oh, we're in six, like, we jumped 5 spots in 3 weeks up the conference standings, like, that, who would have thought that 3 weeks ago? So I like where we're at. We just got to stay present, man. That everybody's going to, as they should, compare us to what it looks like to hang another banner. But we know what it takes to take our time and take the baby steps to get there.
Is it, like, physically, I mean, you're going to be 37. Jimmy's up there. Draymond's up there. There's never been a team with 3 core players of your age. The Bulls with Jordan and Rodman had Ron Harper, but Scottie was a little younger. I mean, do you think about where you're at in your career and how unbelievable this would be?
I think about it all the time. I even think about how unbelievable it's been to be where we are right now. So you just kind of recreate that that confidence and that internal belief. Like, even the fact that most people didn't think I'd still be playing at this level at the age that I'm at. So we defy odds consistently. So why not do it again?
So we heard you got a new job, assistant GM at Davidson. Talk to us, Steph.
It's a pretty cool opportunity with myself, Aisha, the Berman family alumni from Davidson. This 8-figure pledge that we've committed to both the men's and women's basketball teams. I know it's a very competitive landscape in college basketball right now, but the experience that I had at Davidson and the ability to commit to a program and be there 4 years and understand what it's like to represent the Wildcat program, for me, I wanted to make sure we had that a competitive advantage and be a resource. So I'm excited about the opportunity. We just got a big win in the A-10 today against Richmond.
Nice.
Shout out to Kenny Atkinson. It's about just supporting my alma mater, who I want to recreate that experience that I had, that I've benefited from, the teammates that I got to play for. Coach McKillop, Coach Bob McKillop has established an unbelievable program. Matt McKillop, now the head coach. So we're in it for the long run.
All right. Well, we just wanted to say happy birthday to you. We know
appreciate it, fellas. Did you bring your jersey?
No, but I brought something for you.
We cut that part out. We didn't need that gratuitous part. But that was Steph Curry at Chase Center yesterday. And I'm Matt Steinmetz along with Evan Giddings. And if I asked you right now, Evan, what the best part of that interview was, or what stood out to you, what would you say?
Guru. I mean, if you want me to be honest, like, Goo is, he's one of a kind. I miss him dearly, even though I'm sitting in his chair. I enjoy being on the air, but I miss him every time he's not here. And he's dealing with a funeral today. He has a way of, like, disarming you with his questions. Yeah. And I don't know, like, there's not many people that can just get a clean answer out of someone of Steph's magnitude. Like, he just asked him, how long are you going to keep playing? Because that's a question that I think it's simple and it's a good one, but it's not one that you'd always consider asking, because it seems like, oh, well, he's just going to give you the, I'm going to keep you. But no, Steph gave you, I think that's what hit me. He gave a newsworthy answer. He said, my contract is lined up and I'm going to outplay it, or I want to outplay it. That's 4 more years. And Steph also throughout that interview talked about how he doesn't want to just keep playing and existing in the league. He wants to compete.
That stuck out to me.
So if his intent is to legitimately play for another 3+ years, that means he thinks he's got 3 high-level years at least left in his career, and that would take him to age 40. That's pretty unbelievable. That's what hit me.
Yeah, and what hit me was, that line stuck out where he said he didn't want to just exist. And the one thing I've always thought about Curry, especially these last 2 or 3 years, is a player of his magnitude, the last years, however long they last, whether he's done in 2 or done in 4, a player of that magnitude, it's going to be tricky as he gets older. And he's got to kind of walk a fine line. You can tell he is not going to continue to play if he doesn't think he can be a factor. And that's why when I asked him if he'd ever come off the bench, I think he thought, yes, but it's going to have to be a situation where, as a sixth man, I'm impacting a team and we still got title, whatever team it is, we still got a title shot at it. So it's kind of interesting to me, because he does want to play clearly as long as he can, but he's not, there's going to be whatever level he decides he's not going to continue to play at because he doesn't feel good enough about it. That's going to be his assessment. And he might still think, like we might all think he's playing pretty damn good basketball, and he may say, but it's still not up to my standards, so I got to walk away.
Well, that's what I also found interesting. And I know we got to hit a break here in a second. We can discuss more on the other side. But was it just the confidence? Because his numbers were down across the board this year. Was it just the confidence that if he got into a situation where he had a second star or was playing meaningful basketball, that this was still left? Was it just confidence, or did he really know it? I mean, because he's playing like he played three, right, 4 years ago. He's turned back the clock since Jimmy Butler's got here.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta believe some of that is just taking him at his word when he says, Butler's made it easier for me. And he doesn't have that emotional and physical load, game in and game out. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. You've heard the Steph Curry interview. Is there anything, Warrior fans, that stuck out to you in this conversation? Aside from that, I do want to get into one particular challenge that the Warriors may have as they move forward toward this, toward the playoffs, ideally, and maybe a deep run. We'll talk about that on the other side. Download the free Odyssey app and check us out on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. That segment was also brought to you by MB Jesse Painting.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. He's got a family issue he's going to take care of, but he's expected to be at Public Market Emeryville tonight alongside myself, and it's a Warriors watch party at Public Market Emeryville. Everybody's welcome to come out and join us, maybe grab a beer, soft drink, bite to eat, whatever. We'll be watching the Warriors and come out and join us. Public Market Emeryville will be out there 6 to 8. And if the Warriors are up 25 by that point, I may scoot out at halftime, watch the second half at home. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll play it by ear.
Well, this isn't the first time you guys have been.
True.
And whether it was inside or outside, you had a great time. Everyone, yes, DM'd me saying you guys were awesome to hang out with. But, I mean, you really think they're going to just wax the Kings tonight?
I expect a good game tonight.
They've been kind of playing teams close lately. They've still been winning games. And Curry said something that I've kind of been feeling during the last, I would say, three or four wins, which is during his interview with you yesterday, he said, we can figure it out against anyone. And that's kind of the way that I've been looking at the last few games, because they've been playing a lot from behind, or they've been trailing, like against Brooklyn or Detroit. Portland was a team that just didn't go away, but they sort of handled by making a lot of threes. But I do think, I don't know if they're going to win every game, but Stein, this new team gives me the feeling that they are going to figure it out. And it seems like they can do it in real time, which is something necessary if you're going to make a run in the postseason.
Yeah, well, I actually interpreted we can figure it out. I was thinking of the playoffs is almost kind of what he meant, meaning if we get into a series, and even if we get down a game or 2-1 or whatever, that we can figure it out in a given series. But obviously all the vibes are good, and Curry's feeling good, and Butler's feeling good, and Draymond's feeling good, and that's what I want to get into. I do have to push back on something that I've been thinking about. And you know what? I have a guy supporting me on this, and that is Steph Curry. Because Steph Curry said, I'm not ready to say we're a championship team right now. I'm not ready to say we are a championship team right now. Okay, so that got me to thinking. There's something that we haven't talked about with the Warriors and how far they could go.
Well, I think we're going to have to start discussing it tonight, because Jonathan Kuminga is supposed to be making his return to the court.
Great. Great nugget that fits this little talk perfectly. So let's throw out Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, and Kevon Looney. Let's throw them out.
You can throw out GP2 also.
I'll throw GP2 out too. Now, why am I throwing them out? I'm throwing them out because they're champions, and Jimmy Butler might not be a champion, but he's certainly been there. So the Warriors have five players who There's no doubt about what those five guys can do. We've seen it. They've got a history. Nobody doubts that they could put something together. The part that I'm starting to really think about more is the other guys. And I got to push back on something that I've kind of seen over the past couple weeks about some of the Warriors players' experience. And when I talk about their young players, and, you know, we got to see what they do in the playoffs. You know, young players have a tendency to struggle, and that's understandable. And so we don't know how the young guys are going to react to big pressure situations. Invariably, what I'll read on the text line is, hey, Kuminga has played in the playoffs, and Moody's played in the playoffs, so they've got experience. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Do they have playoff experience? Yes, they have playoff experience technically, but they do not. Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody do not have extensive playoff experience. I looked, Jonathan Kuminga, how many games in the postseason do you think Jonathan Kuminga has played more than 20 minutes?
In the playoffs?
In the playoffs.
None.
He's had two. Jonathan Kuminga's played 20 minutes or more in two playoff games over the last 4 years. One was in a 40-point loss, okay?
The one in Memphis?
I believe that's correct. So I don't believe Jonathan Kuminga has real playoff experience. He's never been asked to do what he's likely going to have to be asked to do this year. He just hasn't. He has not played important minutes in the playoffs. Moses Moody. Moses Moody has a few games where he's played 20 minutes or so. And in those games, if you look at some of the details about why he's played 20 minutes in those games, he's had three games over 20 minutes in the postseason. Moses Moody. All of those games were either blowouts or a very low stakes game. What are you talking about, Steiny? He's got three games in the postseason over 20 minutes. Two of them were blowouts, and the one game that he played more than 20 minutes was game four against Dallas in 2022 when the Warriors won the title in the Western Conference, and that was Western Conference Finals. But it was game four of that series, and the Warriors were up 3-0 in that series, and they were playing game four in Dallas, and Moody played over 20 minutes. They lost that game. Okay, so the two guys that you say have experience, they do, but they don't, if you know what I mean. And then you got to go down the line. Pajemski never played in the postseason. Post has never played in the postseason. Santos has never played in the postseason. Buddy Hield has played 50 total minutes in the postseason.
51.
They all came last year with Philadelphia, and it was in a series where he didn't play a few games of the series. That's the one thing when I look at this team that I believe is going to be their biggest challenge. That, and Steph said it himself, we got three guys who are 35 or older. So one of my concerns is that maybe the core is a little too old and the young players don't have enough experience to make a deep playoff run. I'm not saying they're not gonna, but that's a challenge that I see, Evan, that's where everything's going to have to fall into place.
Well, it's funny you brought that up today because that was something that hit me during, I think it was during the Portland game. You know, I was just thinking, like, Kuminga's coming back and, you know, Pods will eventually be back too, even though I think he's also out tonight dealing with the back issue. Kuminga is still probable as of the injury report right now. But, you know, I'm thinking about, like, the title contender.
Right.
Because that's what people have been asking. It's been on national media shows. You guys have discussed it. Guru's really high on them, obviously. Are they contenders? You know, Steph even said it. Well, there's like eight teams who think that they can contend. I would reserve that title right now I mean, to me, I think there's three. There's three contenders in the NBA. It's Cleveland, it's Boston, and it's OKC. And then everyone else below them thinks they have action. And the Warriors are one of those teams. There's no doubt about that. But to me, it's not because of Steph, Jimmy, or Draymond. Like, in a way, I'm not really worried about those guys. You know, and because, Sonny, even if you look at the other players, other young guys on other teams, like Jaden McDaniels has only played in one postseason, right? He's not that experienced. Well, he played almost 700 minutes last season during their trip to the Western Conference Finals. Like, he has legitimate experience as a young role player. Christian Brown, now he's a champion, but over just two postseasons, he's got nearly 500 minutes played in the playoffs as someone who contributes. Even if you go to the Lakers, a role player for them, I know he's a little bit older, but like Austin Reeves has 750 playoff minutes played. Even for OKC, because a lot of people have made their experience out to be their downfall. Let's just leave SGA off to the side. Like, Lou Dort's played 525 playoff minutes. Jalen Williams, in just one postseason, nearly got 600 minutes. So those guys have more experience than your role players. And, I mean, you never know how a guy's going to play. It could be Jordan Poole. Like, Jordan Poole had never had a lick of postseason experience before he exploded against the Denver Nuggets. In the first three games, his efficiency was off the charts. He was averaging 30. I think he was the big reason they just put Denver away really early. But you don't know if a player's going to play like that. It could be Jordan Poole, or it could be the opposite side of the spectrum. So, to me, the Warriors' concern is not about... I don't think it's about how old they are. I think it's about how young they are.
I think that's a good point. And I just wonder if, you know, that mix might be a little too extreme, meaning, you know, they're veterans. I wonder if they're a little too old and their young guys are a little too inexperienced. And I'm glad you brought up Oklahoma City, because I do disagree with people that, no, they're young. They don't have any experience. Well, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's played in 25 playoff games. Holmgren, Wiggins, Jalen Williams, both Jalen Williamses. You know, they
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.